This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. This week, an article in The Atlantic blasted Michigan State University for its handling of nearly every aspect of the Larry Nassar scandal. He's the former MSU physician who sexually abused girls and young women, despite complaints dating back to 1997. The article focused on how MSU is, quote, botching its reputation rehab. One of the experts interviewed for the article is Jeff Hunt. He's a partner and co-founder of Pulse Point Group and the author of the book Brand Under Fire, A New Playbook for Crisis Management in the Age of Digital. And he joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
You are quoted as saying Michigan State has a much bigger problem than Penn State after the sexual abuse scandal there involving child molestation of boys attending a football camp. Why do you feel MSU has a bigger problem?
I think it's a bigger problem on two levels. First, the sheer number of victims that were abused and the time period over which they were abused makes it a very complex situation relative to Penn State. Secondly, their very, very delayed, slow response to the situation. I mean, if you compare the two, I mentioned this in the Atlantic article, that by the time Sandusky went to trial, Penn State was well into making retributions to the victims and also demonstrating its willingness to do things to ensure this never happens again and to help others. And, in the case of Michigan State, I think they're really late to the game. I would say that the new appointment of the former governor, they seem to be taking some actions now that are in the right direction, but it's just really late in my view.
We should mention you were a public relations advisor to Penn State University during the Jerry Sandusky scandal. What lessons should Michigan State have learned from Penn State?
First and foremost, with Penn State, they were not concerned with liability first. They were concerned with making sure that they addressed the victims. And I wouldn't say they just, willingly opened up their wallet, but it was very clear from the outset that that wasn't going to be a barrier, meaning that they were going to take care of those victims. And they encouraged the victims to come forward so that they could reach a settlement agreement with them individually. And so I think that's a a smart approach. The expression penny wise and pound foolish. But in these situations, people are watching your every move to see, are you really genuinely regretful for what happened? And a lot of times what they look for is how you treat the victims.
So let's step back a couple of steps. What do institutions and corporations not understand about crisis management in this digital age?
Well, first off, they don't understand that digital and social media really emerged as a result of fundamental mistrust of institutions. We've always known that peer-to-peer communications has always been favored. And so these social technologies have really scaled intimacy and allowed conversations to happen between peers. And the other thing is that these channels don't like institutional voices. So in my view, there's five things that you really have to take to heart. Number one, authenticity. People don't want to hear, as I say, from institutions. They want to hear from people. They want to hear caring people that genuinely have, a heartfelt interest in solving the problem. Second is transparency. You have to assume that everything is discoverable. A vacuum gets created when a crisis like this occurs, and it either gets filled by us, meaning Michigan State, or it gets filled by others. And, over the length of time that it took them to respond to this, clearly it was being filled by many others, and their narrative, was way, way late to the game. And that, sort of leads me to the third, which is speed. You really have to move quickly because we're not operating in a 24-hour news cycle anymore. We're operating in a nanosecond news cycle. And so, again, they were really late. And then agility. So you heard others say in the Atlantic article that they appear to be tone deaf. If you're releasing comments or you're taking actions and it's not having the intended effect, you need to be able to kind of restate those or redo them, or rethink them. So the ability to be agile. And then, lastly, the ability to be creative. And when I say creative, I don't mean, paint fancy pictures. I mean the ability to be really creative in helping people understand how you're responding to the crisis.
In your book, Brand Under Fire, you outline those, what you call six stages of crisis. But the urge is to put out a defensive press release, minimizing the issue, and then bunker down.
That's right.
Why? That's our impulse. So why doesn't that work?
I think, in a lot of cases, you have, the overwhelming inertia is legal and the fear of liability. And it's a big boulder to move. But I think smart organizations, smart institutions, are really starting to recognize that, again, in this day of digital and social media, the court of public opinion weighs really heavily also in on the legal case. So particularly when you're dealing with class action suits, you'll see that how quickly an institution moved to address the situation is often a big factor. You know, I always tell people that in a situation like this, there are four things that you are going to have to get to in order to bring closure. First off, number one, people want to know what happened. And I still don't think that there's a great accounting of exactly what happened with Mr. Nassar and his victims and how, as it relates to Michigan State, as it relates to the Olympics. So that's the first thing. I mean, people will give you the benefit of the doubt in the early going that perhaps you couldn't put it all together. But at some point, they expect a full accounting. Number two, they expect to be able to understand what you did in the moment. And they're going to judge you on what you did in the moment, good, bad, or indifferent. And number three, they want to know what you're going to be doing to mitigate it and make sure it never happens again. What steps are you taking? And then number four, they want to know what you're doing to make the world a better place. So the reason we have tamper-proof packaging is because of Tylenol. The reason that we have double-hull tankers is because of the Exxon Valdez. So if you look at Penn State, for example, they took a big chunk of that money, like $15 million, and they invested it in putting in institutes to really educate on this whole subject of child molestation. So they did something right. They learned from their mistake. And that's what people expect you to do in these situations. And I think Michigan State is, you know, a long ways from that.
You talked a lot about information vacuum. You mentioned it earlier. You know, I've seen as a reporter, and I'm sure you've seen in your career, the attempt to fill that vacuum with public relations, I'll call it spin, that simply tries to persuade the public to just see it our way. Typically, how successful is that approach?
I don't think it's successful. I mean, I think what you can do is you can, in the early hours, you can begin to fill it with process. And what I mean by that is that while I may not know exactly what happened, now I can tell you what I'm going to do to find out what happened. And so the more information you can provide early on, again, to demonstrate that you're going to be transparent and authentic, the better. Again, speed is a critical factor. So I don't think you can just fill it with a bunch of spin. I think that's, you know, again, that's yesterday. That's the old playbook. The new playbook is be authentic, be transparent, be genuine in letting people understand what you're trying to do to solve the crisis. And most importantly, be conscious, be caring, be respectful of the victim. And that's what most people believe has been missing in this Michigan State case, that they have not put the proper amount of attention on the victims. And that was certainly not the case with Penn State.
I liked the argument you made about transparency, saying it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when and how to disclose information. Let me ask you to bottom line this for us. What kinds of things should the Michigan State University Board of Trustees and the interim president be doing right now?
First off, get a full accounting, very publicly known, of what happened, you know, with as much detail as they possibly can provide. And then secondly, I think they should move very quickly to address the victims, you know, one at a time, or, you know, however they decide that they're going to bring that forward. But they need to really show that they genuinely want to take care of these victims. I think they need to look culturally at what were the things that allowed this to happen in the first place. You know, when you get to these situations, you look at, like, for example, what's going on at Uber or Facebook. When you start to see these things happening or occurring often, generally there's a cultural issue that's at the core. Until you fix the cultural issue, meaning, are we an organization that is committed to being transparent? Are we an organization that's committed to being authentic? If you don't have that figured out, then, you know, you're just basically waiting for the next crisis to occur. So those are some of the media things I would do. Obviously, they've got a lot of key constituents. You know, you've heard the students are very, very upset, so they've got to regain trust and confidence with the students and demonstrate to the students and the faculty that they are deeply committed. They've got to give them, you know, as weird as this may sound, they've got to give them something to be proud of. And, you know, in the Penn State case, while it was a fairly divided constituent group in terms of who favored what the interim president did, in that case Rodney Erickson, and those that didn't, at the end of the day, I think if a Penn Stater looks back, they can say, we handled it in a respectful way. We're proud of our institution. We're proud of the way that we dealt with it. We're not proud of what happened, for sure. And we're not proud that we had a system that would let it happen. But we got the wake-up call, and we did the right thing.
That is Jeff Hunt. He's crisis management expert and author of the book Brand Under Fire, a new playbook for crisis management in the age of digital. He also was a public relations advisor to Penn State University during the Jerry Sandusky scandal. Thanks for taking some time to talk to us.
My pleasure. Thank you.